Unconventional Life. This is your host, Jules Schroeder, tuning in today from Breckenridge, Colorado. Today's guest is also from Colorado, Deborah Silverman in the house. Deborah, are you ready to take us down the path less traveled?
The path less traveled. I'm all good at that.
Wonderful. So I've known Deborah through friends of friends for quite a long time, and her and I have just recently started to connect, and she is up to all different things unconventional. She is part comedian, part psychologist, part astrologer, and everything real. She's written a book, magazine columns, hosted a radio show, had a YouTube channel with over 7 million views, really dedicated to community and working for children. And she's had this private practice for about 40 years, really using astrology and ultimately her own system called the Four Elements as tools to help people step into their power. So I know that is definitely a theme a lot of us can relate to, really the journey of owning your personal power, figuring out your personal mapping and using those tools so that you can step into, the best self in life, the best self in business. So excited to dive into those themes with you today. Deborah, welcome to the show. Fill in any gaps that I might have left out and give us a glimpse into your personal life.
Give you a glimpse into my personal life. Well, in my chart, it's funny because I love that we're doing this without a visual. In my chart, I grew up feeling very private, and as the years have gone by because of my career, I'm not so private anymore. It's been funny when I teach, I often tell stories, and then years later, there'll be students going, "Didn't you have a relate?" I'm like, "Why do you know that story?" Like, so funny. My private life, I live both in Colorado and Hawaii, so I'm presently in Hawaii, and I have this incredible dream that's come true about helping people fall in love with themselves. Like, even when I was young, I was fascinated by astrology from a very young age, but superficial, like many of you, reading those books and going and reading your sun sign and studying all the superficial dippy part. But as the years have continued, I've really been able to break the code and teach other people how to break the code, to be able to do a session for someone in less than an hour, where I address the most important, I have this crazy job where people call me and we have the deepest conversation you could possibly have in 45 minutes about all their secrets, like what you just asked me, their whole personal life, their whole goals, their whole shadow. And at the end of the session, I can identify what's their purpose or what's their timing. It's not just me. I have about a dozen certified astrologers that I train. So it's been a crazy life from being a private, quiet, internal person when I started this movie to becoming a public figure that knows astrology, that's talking to Jules on a podcast because somehow I became an expert. There's a great quote by Einstein that said, "In my distaste for authority, God made me one." And I feel like that happened to me. Like, I didn't really like authority, but now suddenly I am one.
It's so interesting how that kind of the trajectory happens. And for myself, I'm very much an introvert, and I like to say that I'm an introverted extrovert. And so it takes something, even though I lead the podcast, lead our events, it takes something for me to step in. And it feels like it's also been, this other part of my calling, even though it hasn't been my default mapping in a lot of ways. And I resonate a lot with what you're saying. And I'm curious.
So that's so funny. I totally relate to that. Go ahead. You're curious.
Yeah. Well, and I'm curious, like with you specifically, like what is it that you feel like most people don't know or fully understand about your work or about you when they first meet you?
You're so good. What sign are you?
I am a Taurus, Aries cusp.
God, that was such a good question. She went right to it. I get lots of interviewers. That was really good.
We go right to the heart here.
let's start with the work and not me. What they don't know about the work is that astrology is easier than you think. It seems so abstract and it seems so huge. The sky's the limit, I always say. But I've simplified it. So if you're someone who loves psychology, like that was a great example. I'm an extroverted introvert. I am either very social or I really don't really like people, but I care about people. But all those confusing dynamics, what people don't know is astrology explains the parts of ourselves that we can't explain. And I feel such relief when I watch someone take just level one, the first level. There's only twice a year the course opens, and so February and September. But when I watch them take level one, and there's only 10 people in the room, and you're online, and you're looking at your own chart, and suddenly they go, "Oh my God, no wonder I'm so scattered," or "Oh my God, no wonder I'm so OCD," or "Oh my God, no wonder I'm so introverted." It's like this relief happens. So the surprise that, to your point about what don't people know about astrology, is it's not just a predictive tool, because I have been trained in psychology. It's actually an understanding and compassion for our strange, weird personalities. And I'm sure none of your listeners have, but I have one.
Yeah, so, so good. So tell me about that side.
Well, you know, let's see. So first of all, in the name of the mystery of astrology, you guys, if you're interested, there's something called the Star Community. It's just three words, thestarcommunity.com. And for any millennials, we're aiming specifically at millennials, for $22 a month, you can go study the full moon, the new moon, the retrograde, which is coming soon, the eclipses, and you learn the language every month by these videos and these different ways of having a conversation. So that's one way to simplify, because it is so complicated. So that's the astrology piece. There's ways to learn it, apply it, and the mystery of your character suddenly feels much more understandable. Personally, for me, I'm like you. I don't know how God decided or Goddess decided that I was going to be this voice. I'm good at talking, but I'm so deep that if I'm in a social setting and people start asking me about my kids or about where I'm like, oh my God, really? So I have to like either have a drink to make me more interesting, make them more interesting, or I have to do something to lubricate my system, because I just have the hardest time. You wouldn't tell by looking. People think I'm so social, but I am not social.
Yeah. You know, I like that you're sharing that. And I think a lot of our audience can relate to this, especially, you know, the millennial part of our audience. And I imagine when you were younger, having this awareness or even knowing the tools to, you know, help lubricate yourself, as you said, you've probably learned those along the way. And so when you were younger, how did you work with that without maybe having the awareness that you do now to just like integrate this part of yourself along your path?
That's a great question. Well, I didn't when I was younger. Part of why I have the Star Community is because I wished that when I was younger, somebody would have explained me to me. So I spent a lot of years codependent, a seeker of approval. I'm Libra rising. So I was like, do you like me? Do you like me? Do you like me? And I would shapeshift like a little, you know, amoeba to match people. And I would be so good for so long. And then I would pop back into my form and run back home and go, I don't like being around people. But I pretended a lot. Like I had one elder say to me, probably like it was 15 years ago. She was like, Deborah, can I swear on this thing?
Yeah.
I was like, Deborah, you're so full of shit. Because she came in. I had just injured myself. I bumped into something and hurt myself. And she was like, I said, okay, are you okay? I was like, I'm fine. She was like, bullshit. Look at you. I was like, okay, this really hurts. And then I realized I always do that. I was doing this thing called let's be normal, which I've discovered is a setting on the dryer. Like, I don't know what normal is. I don't even know what normal is. But I kept trying. And when I was a millennial, some elder would have said to me, you're full of shit. You really aren't what you're presenting. Now tell me who you really are. I would have started to cry because I'm so emotional and you can't tell by looking. And then I would have been like, really? Do you really want to get to know me? Like, that's so strange because I thought I was here to make you happy.
Can you really do that? I can. I'm also a Libra rising. So I can very much relate to that. And that even having that awareness, like even the last, like, you know, 5 to 8 years, that's been a huge shift for me in stepping into my own power. And for someone that doesn't understand Libra rising, so I want to be mindful of jargon or even rising, can you give just a little background context to just some of the astrological terms? Yeah.
So great question. So there's the sun sign. Everybody knows their sun sign. It's just based on the date of your birth, because the sun only moves 1 degree a day around the sky. So if you're born on, say you're born on June 20th, 21st, the sun just entered Cancer, and on June 22nd, it'll be 1 degree, June 22nd, it'll be 2 degrees. So every day, we could predict that. So we always know what your sun sign is based on your birthday, because that's completely consistent. So that's how we figure out your sun sign. What we can't predict is where's the moon on the day of your birth and the time of your birth and the city you were born in. So if the moon is, if you were born at night and the moon was just changing signs, it depends where you are. So the point of the story is the moon is determined with a calculation that requires math. But here's the good news for all you millennials. It's a button. I mean, now the entire chart is executed with one button. It used to take hours and hours and hours. The math involved to create a chart is extensive, and it's been going on. This is the oldest science on Earth. So everyone that doesn't believe in it, because I didn't believe in it to start with, I was like, this is ridiculous. Why would the planets influence us? But the statistics now first of all, about the moon influencing the waves, the tides, the harvesting, the farmer's almanac, all of that's facing the moon. So we now know without a doubt, the moon influences the earth and we and the waters on the earth. We are mostly water. The moon determines your emotional nature. It talks about your feelings. It talks about your inner world. Wherever your moon is, I'm going to know about your emotional style. And then the third category is your rising sign. And that's very specific to the moment you were born, what city you were born in, and what time it was. And they go running out the hospital bed. Your mom has this baby. The astrologer runs outside, looks at the eastern horizon, and whatever constellation was on the eastern horizon. So for you and I, Jules, it was Libra on the horizon. So that's called the rising sign, or it's also called the ascendant. And contrary to what you'll read in esoteric, which is what I do, the rising sign is what you're rising toward. It's the ascendant. You're ascending up. So it's the higher self. And most of us get stuck in our ego. I mean, I'm sure you don't, Jules. But
never been guilty of that.
And no one else. It's just my problem. But yeah. We have these stupid fat egos that need all. That was the part of me that's like, do you like me? And then the rising sign is trying to say, excuse me, can you listen to me? I don't want to do what you think I want to do. So there's a conflict between your ego's goal, your sun sign, and the rising sign. Not always. Some people are double. Their sun sign's the same as their rising, and it's congruent. But for lots of us, the rising sign, what we're rising toward, is your soul. And so astrology is based on identifying your ego and becoming friends with it, because it won't go away. And by the way, you can't get your bank deposits done without your ego, because you have to have, you know, if you get the wrong name and the wrong number at the bank, forget about it. Your soul's like, I don't care about money. I just want to love everybody and do yoga and meditate and listen to Trevor Hall. Are you kidding me? We have things to do.
Oh, I love that description. And I got a lot out of hearing you talk about it. And I've heard it, you know, explained in several different ways. And, you know, one part that I really like about that, you know, you were like, I didn't used to believe this stuff or maybe resonate with it as much. And I always find on our show, usually where our guests end up, like, for example, now in the moment where we're having this conversation, you probably couldn't have predicted this trajectory. At least that's true in a lot of the times. And I'm wondering if we were a fly on the wall, you know, to see your evolution growing up, like what would have been some highlights would we have seen? And was this the path always, or how did you get here? You know, if you can speak to that from just a fly on the wall overview.
First of all, I'm very unusual. And I know this now, having been in practice for 40 years, I knew what I wanted to do when I was 16. Wow. And I was sitting with my Uncle Arnie and Auntie Franny. I just love saying their names. Uncle Arnie and Auntie Franny. And they were having marital problems, and I was helping them at 16. Like, what is up with that? And my aunt turned to me, and she said, you should be a psychologist. And I was like, okay. And so unlike most people that I know, including my children and the people that I've helped raise, they don't know until they reach about 30, and I really want to talk about that. You guys that are millennials that are listening and older people that are between 28 and 30, destiny's coming to your house. Between 58 and 60, destiny's sitting down at your house. Like, she's now relaxed and going to give you some information. So those are turning points. But I, unlike most normal people, found my destiny. I was in love with astrology. So, but if you saw the fly on the wall, you would see I was neurotic. Is that okay to say I was neurotic?
Yeah.
I was so high strung. Like, first of all, I didn't like this planet. I came into a very, very painful beginning, you know, lots and lots of trauma, mm-hmm. and very high strung circumstances that were everything from the mafia was involved in my household to a murder to, like, it was so over the top scary that I was obviously neurotic and anxious for a reason. Now, the good news is I've medicinized that. Is that a word? I've medicinalized that. I have healed. Oh, you know, please tell me I've healed over these last 65,000 years. I've healed the wounding that was imprinted in my childhood with the practices that I teach, which is simply asking this question. What did my soul sign up for? What was the agreement I made that conjured up that story? It's kind of like Jeopardy. I don't know if you've ever seen Jeopardy on TV.
Yeah.
They give you the answer, and you have to figure out the question. I kept trying to figure out what the question was, because clearly the answer was my life. But what was the question? And as the years have gone by, the neuroses diminishes once your soul says, listen, let me explain to you, the bells keep going off. Let me explain to you why your life was like this. My soul began to download over time in therapy and a lot of journeying and a lot of yoga and a lot of help from elders. I began to realize, wow, I think I'm a healer. And I had that horrible beginning, so no one's story could top mine. And I would be fearless to walk into anyone's story and say, I can listen. I can hear you. I can touch that pain. I'm not afraid. Because if you touch the pain deeply and you don't skirt around it and avoid it and pretend it's not there and use your favorite addiction to avoid it, drugs, pot, drinking, sex, video games, podcasts, mm-hmm. stay with the pain with this prayer. Help me heal this. Show me what life was meaning when they gave me this lesson. You can't believe the magic that begins.
Yeah, I myself have also had quite a traumatic and crash landing since I've come into the world as well. And, you know, the trauma part and the healing part, especially those questions, it's really beautiful you're touching on it because I think that's part of the awakening as millennials. It's like more so than our parents, and not saying that it's just exclusive to millennials or that we're the all holy special people by any means, but that more of us are willing to kind of look and heal and get to the source of a lot of things. And, you know, I like that you touch on those questions and asking them. And I'm wondering if there's a few other like practices or even someone that's hearing this right now that's like, Deborah, I'm sitting in a lot of stuff right now. A lot of shit is up in my world and it's been up in my world. And I like what you're saying, but like, how do I even begin to touch that? Like, where do I start?
It's so great. So I have a book called The Missing Element that we're going to give away to someone on your show. The book is teaching you specific, it's not a long book. It's a really easy read because I have the attention span. Listen, I got a commercial break. Someone told me this last night and it really touched my heart. This man had been teaching for 30 years in a primary elementary school. He said for the first time this year when the school system came in, he saw these kids were not interested. He's never seen this before. They weren't interested. He could not get their attention. And he was starting to ask questions and he saw them with their, you know, internet magical devices that were losing our attention span. But it was the first time he actually saw it. And I thought, you know, this is what we're going to be victimized by. Like, your emotional pain requires attention. So first things, you read a book, back to your point. You read a book, The Missing Element. And in the book, I'm going to teach you how to turn your observer on. And the observer looks over at your life like it was a camera in a movie. And it goes, oh, Jules, you look like you're trying really hard to be social right now. I can tell you don't like this. And then your observer goes, anything else you want to do? And then your personality goes, what do you mean? What do you mean? I look uncomfortable. What do you mean? It's a horrible sentence. And then your observer goes, calm down. I'm not judging you. I'm just giving you information. You look really uncomfortable right now from the inside out. I can see it. So you begin to have a relationship with your observer, the part of you watching, who's not judging. So here's the observer. No judgments, no expectations. It's like a reporter. It collects information and it reports. If you guys can start practicing in the middle of a fight, turn your observer around, look back at yourself and go, oh my God, I'm a wreck. I'm losing it. As soon as that muscle's there, and you have to practice this right now, we can do it on the show, you pretend there's a camera on in front of you. So if you're sitting in your house listening to the computer, or Jules, you're talking into a computer, you're suddenly looking at yourself, you're seeing what you're wearing from a distance, you're noticing your colors, noticing the room, you step out of the story into the observer, and you practice neutralizing your point of view. If you get good at that practice, when you're being neurotic or you're being sad or you're depressed or you're doing your escape art or you're doing your addiction and your observer kicks in and goes, what are you doing? Without judging you, just a simple neutral question like a reporter would ask. You get to say, I don't know. That's, why are you asking? And then you suddenly become aware of the part of you who has free will because the observer is not in judgment. Your judgment is, I hate this feeling. I hate what I look like. I have the dumbest job. I'm never going to be loved. I'm never getting a job. I'm never like all those negative trap doors can get interrupted when your wisdom body, your observer steps in and says, excuse me, can you not talk to her like that? So that's a muscle and it takes time. And I'm telling you, the worst thing to do is turn it on when you're making love. That's the worst. when you're making love. It just ruins everything. But leave it on when you're at Christmas dinner and you're sitting with your family and you're watching yourself going, I can't stand this person. And you turn on your observer and you go, what are you doing? And that freedom becomes the doorway for free will. And free will is the missing piece in our story because we don't realize how victimized we are to our wounding. And your wounding, Jules, my wound. Like those were stories. That's called grist for the mill. How do you polish a diamond? By leaving it in dark mud. I mean, that's the dumbest thing. I don't know who made this up, but you learn from pain.
Yeah, completely. And the observer part, especially like the witnessing it, such a valuable tool. And I'm wanting to take this even like applying it, you know, from life, but also into business, because I think, you know, a good portion of our show, our listeners, entrepreneurs, and as an entrepreneur, it can feel so significant sometimes, like life in business and our clients and like making it happen and weaving our purpose into our passion. And it can get so heavy. And when stuff isn't working or not working as well as we'd like it to, it can make your whole world collapse often. And so I'm wondering, you know, in your own experience, I mean, you've been at it for over 40 years as an entrepreneur, you know, in your different degree, and how have you worked with this observer quality in your relationship to business and entrepreneurship?
I wish I didn't have to say this. I learned about it from doing it all wrong. Like I would have a business partner because I'm an entrepreneur and I played this game called I'm so dumb. I'm a woman, you know, my generation, like I don't know business. I never took a business class. Just because I've been successful just means I love what I do, but don't get impressed with my business. So I would go to some man and he'd see a dollar sign over my head because I have a very, very high standard. So he'd be like, gee, great. So then they would put me in business, but they would make me their 50-50 partner. And stupid me would sign papers going, okay. And then half the way through, I was like, wait a minute, all my content, all my clients, all my marketing, all my ideas. Why am I? Oh, that's right, because they know business. So then I went, excuse me, I'm taking this back. And so every entrepreneur has to learn. This is what I really learned. I wish someone had told me this. Celebrate it when you get it wrong. Like, don't be self, you as an entrepreneur, you are on uncharted territory. You're breaking ground. What's the name of your podcast? Unusual.
Unconventional Life.
Yeah. All you unconventional weirdos, welcome to astrology. You fit right in. Who believes in this stuff but weird people? Who's an entrepreneur but someone that goes, don't tell me what to do? But then what happens? Well, then the people that tell you what to do, you're like, no, no, no. So then you learn it all the hard way, school of hard knocks. And then somewhere about 30, you enter into maturity. How old are you, Jules?
I'm 28. I'm 29 next month.
Ding, 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 ding. You're in standard return. Do you know what that is?
I do. And it's in my house of family. And it's interesting because like four of my siblings actually work for me. And so it's all been up. So.
Yes, it's all been up. So what I want to say to you is, you particularly, Jules, you're walking into the door called destiny. And you don't have, this is a thing that's so wonderful about this life. When you turn 28 to 30 and the karma comes up about your family or about your work or whatever it is, you can't prepare for it except to have your observer on. So you go, whoa, I'm watching the pressure building. I'm feeling a little disconcerted. You know, like people with Saturn in the fourth, is that what you said you have?
Mm-hmm.
Saturn and Cap in the fourth, that you're going to have to reevaluate your relationship with family. Now that can include during Saturn return, people stop talking to their parents for a little while. I give people permission to do exactly what you want because there's no right or wrong answers when you're in the unconventional life. You're supposed to get it wrong.
So good. It's so much freedom. And inside of that, and like what I'm hearing you say too, it's like reclaiming power almost in a new way, which I know is another piece of your story and ultimately using these tools, the observer, also the four elements piece that you have to really help people cultivate their power. And so I'm wondering if you can speak to that other side of it, which almost feels like, you know, part of the outcome that comes from like the permission of like, it's okay to totally F it up and it's okay to do it wrong and it's okay to mess it up. Like you said, it took years for you to realize, hey, I don't need to give that other 50 away, or me right now with my Saturn return. And so, yeah, I'd love for you to speak to the power part and for those hearing this, like how they can work with that in their own journey.
You know, you're such a good interviewer. Power. What is power? Power is I'm in charge of my life and I have the call. And if I'm the powerful person in the room, I'm like, excuse me, we're doing it this way. Now, You have to do that inside your own governing of yourself. If your unconscious mind has a sabotager, and most of us do, I would say 99% of the society has a sabotager. Not everyone does, but pretty much everybody. And the sabotager's job is to have you get it wrong. Like when you're a kid, like think about walking or think about learning to read or think about going to school. You had to get it wrong to get it right. Now, some kids got it right. At the first time they got up, they walked, they got up, they talked, they got all A's in school. They met their partner when they were 12, and by 15, they're in love, and then they get married, and they have 14 kids, and they're so happy. Well, that's a very rare story these days. We're the unconventional ones going, I'm going to get it wrong as many times as I can. And the power is celebrating the wisdom of one asking for help. You guys don't, if you have to pray, if you have to say to some, just to spirit or to your guides or to your angels, because I really do believe they're real. Now I have no doubts because I've gotten to the age where I've clearly seen evidence without question. And I say to my helpers, like, I really need you to help me. Like, for example, I hate to say this out loud, but I'm thinking about writing another book. I can't even believe that. But I didn't want to. And then spirit and all these stupid things are. And then I said, I asked for help. And the next thing you knew, oh my God, someone calls me and says, it's so over the top. I'm looking for a place to live because I had this place for rent. And what do you do, lady? And she says, oh, I work with people designing books. And I was like, okay, this is just over the top. Like, So you begin to see signs and your power comes back. And so the question as a millennial or as an older person is, who did I give my power away to? That's a really big question. What am I seeking for approval? What is it I want from people? And then how can I give those two things back to myself? How can I empower myself and give myself the approval and say, I really love you, Deborah? Like, it took me so long to not be thinking I was conceited or feeling scared for being happy or feeling okay about liking the way that my house looked. Like, you know, you become I don't know about you guys, but I spent so much of my life understating losing power. Like a leak in your the bucket. There's a leak in my bucket. The power keeps leaking.
Yeah.
And then I put a little block in there. Now my power sits in there and I'm like, I got this. I'm old enough now where everybody should just leave me alone.
Totally. And I love how you're speaking of power. It reminds me from like a very feminine perspective as well. It's not coming from this like force, do more, make stuff happen, hustle harder, like that kind of essence to it, which there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. But I think it kind of takes us from like old model into new model, which is a lot of what the home is for this unconventional conversation. And I know inside of like the way that at least it seems like you're speaking to this power, a lot of it is listening. And a lot of it is really creating space to kind of hear, like ask yourself those questions. And wondering, how have you cultivated your muscle with listening to yourself? And I know I'm sure there's some of us that are hearing this that are like, I can't even hear where my own power is, yet alone hear for the right question, yet alone like, do you know the millions of thoughts that are in my mind? And I know the witnessing, right, is one tool, one entryway into that.
That is the tool, by the way. You watch it. I have tattooed on my arm the words listen and silent have the same letters in it. So in order to listen, you have to stop the internal dialogue. Well, that lends itself to, I love Trevor Hall. I listen to him constantly. And Snatum Kaur, SnatumKaur. Those are the two people that I listen to all the time. They soothe my internal dialogue. So to your point, everybody has these voices in their head. They can't find their power. What gave me the... I'm just going to make you laugh, but I'm the president of the Juice for Joy Club and I have no members, but I have practiced joy. Like I said to myself, Deborah, because you know, when you grow up in the group where I grew up, everybody's like, oi, everybody was so miserable. Like even now I go home and it's just so hard to watch. And I made a decision somewhere about the age of 40 that I was like, I'm going to be happy. It's not easy to be happy. What are you doing, Jules?
What am I doing right now?
It was a funny little sound like you were tap dancing.
Oh, I was playing with with the microphone on the computer. Yeah.
We can hear you.
We can hear me. Yeah, the thoughts, right? Coming back to our silence part.
Silent and listen have the same letters. To really listen, you have to turn off your internal dialogue. To turn off your internal dialogue, the first step is very hard to do. Is turn your observer on, start watching, and then eventually you'll find the button behind the red door that says, shut the front door, like shut up already, like stop it. And you begin to have the muscle to say to your mind, you guys, I don't want to stay up listening to you. And you believe it or not, with time, you know, I have probably 8 kids considering who calls me mom. And I'm always telling them, I promise it gets better as you get older.
Yeah. So awesome. I love hearing that wisdom and that perspective. And, you know, it brings me to the last, you know, little bit I wanted to explore with you. And that's kind of zooming out from like the microness of the conversation and looking at where we are in the world in general right now. And a lot of people, you know, will reference this time as like a big time of awakening, like more of us being tapped in a certain way or coming into our gifts or our power in ways where historically there hasn't been this aliveness. And I'm just curious, like, where do you sit with all of what's happening in our world? And what do you find is relevant? Like, what do you think some of us should know that maybe some of us don't know about what's happening and, you know, any opportunities or challenges that you think we're facing right now?
Great question. So let's do a long view. Let's go backwards for a minute. So we have this unbelievable evolution of human nature that's gone from cavemen to all the way through the Renaissance to Christ comes to the fall, the empires from England to Greece to Rome, all the way to England, late, you know, World War II, World War I, World War II, and then it comes into 2018 where we are in this modern, we are in the Jetsons. Like people listen to podcasts like they brush their teeth. Like these podcasts, then you stick it in your ear. We talk, you listen, you get awakened or not, and we're in this futuristic zone. So if we just neutralize, again, the observer, don't judge, there's been an amazing evolution of consciousness. And we have advanced to the point where we can take a silver tube and everything you owned and put it in a suitcase and everyone you knew can get on this little silver tube. We're going to go up 33,000 feet in the sky. We're going to go 500 miles an hour and we're all going to feel safe. Oh, really? This is the craziest story I've ever heard. Okay, but it's true. And we take it for granted. We're going to go online. We're going to go into the internet. We're going to end up in every part of the world in the internet with access to seeing stories and tales and hearing voices and being able to get understandings and ask a Google any question you have. Okay, we're in the future. It's a modern day world. There's a beautiful life. I can't wait to get there. Uh-oh, we forgot to take care of the maturing of the emotional body. We are emotionally retarded like we were during cavemen. If you sleep with my boyfriend, I'm going to kill you. I mean, really? Did that just happen? Did we just go from modern day civilization where we're flying through space to I'm going to kill somebody because they slept with my boyfriend? Yeah, we did. Because the human dimension has not matured. We are unsophisticated and emotionally retarded. Now, that's a truth. That's what we see in politics. Republicans and Democrats are in a room and they're emotionally retarded. They hate each other. They're like sixth grade versus the, you know, two different classes and they hate each other, even though they're in the same school. So my point is we are evolving. The species is evolving. There's a really good story to see how much we're advancing. We have fascinations. We have interests. We have what has got to be matured for all of you listening is your emotional body. Mm. And that's what's in my book. The subtitle of The Missing Element is Inspiring Compassion for the Human Condition. We must be kind.
Yeah.
Now, you know, if you sleep with my boyfriend, I'm going to be right pissed. There's no way. There's no way I'm going to be kind. And you've got to first do the impulse of your human nature. And someone gives you the finger, you cut them off. There's a million versions of that that are simple. Like your brother takes all the jewelry from your family and leaves and doesn't tell anyone. And then you're pissed. Whatever the storyline is, then you have to turn on your observer and go, whoa. I think my emotional body's appearing as a 7-year-old and she's really upset and she has no control. And then there's some freedom and this is maturity. And this is why we listen to podcasts. What will it take for me to glean enough wisdom to evolve my emotional body and help the species? I don't know, but it's a process. I mean, it's just, you know, there's times, I just want to add one more piece. Cause I really relate this recently. I'm in a circumstance, I'm not going to give you details, where I'm in a pickle, for example, and there's an alluring draw of romance to my left, an alluring draw to romance to my right. And I have to find my integrity because it would be very easy to just get caught in this romantic movie for 15 minutes. It's going to last. And I'm going to be, or I can stand still and say, you know what? I'm not in any rush. I'm going to let this unfold. Take a deep breath. Nothing has to be pushed. The river doesn't get pushed. Why can't I trust enough my emotional body to not be lured by this attractive job that I don't really want, but I'm going to take it because I don't really, but I can't hear my own voice and I can't slow down. Let's do a little, time is on your side. That's the answer to every question. Be a turtle. Mm. Listen to your body. Pay attention to your wisdom body. If you can't hear it, seek counsel. Get reflection. Find someone who knows how to go slowly and listen with you. That's the short answer.
Yeah. I like you touching on that part, and specifically the word process like sticks out to me. And I think that's one of us, like I remind myself of this word, you know, frequently and as an offering for those listening. It's not like you're getting somewhere, you've arrived and then you've made it and then it's all perfect. Then you're healed. And it is a continuous, at least in my own journey, it's been a continuous, you know, and I'm definitely in the thick of it. I'm also in a bit of a pickle, as you call it. I've been dealing with a lot of health, black mold issues, impacting some other issues. And so having that compassion is such a centerstone for me as well. And so appreciate you touching on it. And it ties in perfectly to the giveaway, which, you know, I want to explore just after our last part of the show, which is the rapid fire round. So for those tuning in, Deborah's been mentioning her book. We're going to give one copy away to that book right after the rapid fire round. So stay tuned for that in the next few moments. Deborah, let's go into the rapid fire round. This is a series of 5 hot questions coming at you. Are you ready?
Ready.
Okay. Question number 1, fill in the blank. If you really knew me, you would know what?
That I'm so sensitive and I'm such a mush push and you can't tell by looking.
Mush push. Next question. What is one piece of advice that you wish someone would have told you when you were 16 that you know now?
That makes me want to cry. That you're going to be successful, Deb, so can you just stop being neurotic?
Yes. Next question. What is one practice or habit that you do daily or regularly that you feel sets you up for success?
If I don't do yoga, meditate, bike ride, play racquetball, ghost, play tennis, I'm a wreck. Every day I have to move energy. Moving energy is the shortest, simplest way to never age and to stay healthy.
Love that. Next question. What is one weird fact that most people don't know about you or would be surprised to know about you?
That my father was in the mafia.
Don't mess with her, everyone.
Jewish mafia. Jewish mafia.
Yeah. And the last question. What does living an unconventional life mean to you?
No one tells me what to do. I'm allowed to make up my own rules. This society is so contrived and so peculiar. And if you think for 1 minute the authority is going to give me directions of the unconventional, non-traditional astrologer, you're wrong. So be yourself, because everyone else is taken. And God wasn't making a mistake when they made you. I promise you are exactly as you should be. The question is, what was your soul thinking when she gave you this assignment?
I love that. So, so good. All right, let's talk about the giveaway, which is your book. Can you share a little bit more about the book? I know you've shared, you know, a little bit throughout the episode, but just the name of the book, and then I'll tell our listeners how they can go ahead and enter for the giveaway.
Well, it's called The Missing Element. You can get it on my website, and I can mail it to you with your chart in it, or you can go buy it on Amazon. It's about 4 personality types. There's a test in the middle of the book, and the test describes 4 different personality types, and then you figure out what your missing element is. And then once you grow that one, you will find out that you can change your life. So it's kind of a fun workbook. It's as much a workbook as it is a, you know, intellectual book. And it has lots of stories in it. It's I have to entertain myself or I get bored, as you probably noticed.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I love that. And you, for those that are listening, you can head over to unconventionallifeshow.com and click on the giveaway tab and get the information there. And then Deborah, for those that want to go to your website, that want to follow more of the work that you're doing, you know, check out the book themselves, what's the best way to do that and where should they go?
www.deborahsilvermanastrology, 3 words, deborahsilvermanastrology.com. And then you just go to, you'll see right on the front page to get the book. Whatever else you're interested in. I have a school that starts twice a year in September and February. I have a platform called thestarcommunity.com. And I hate being a saleswoman, but just look up at the stars and don't forget that spirit wasn't making a mistake. God wasn't making a mistake when she made you. It was a plan, Stan.
So awesome. And we will have all of those links in the show notes on our website for Debra. Debra, thanks so much for taking the time to chat with our Unconventional Life family, to share all your wisdom and knowledge. I know Unconventional Lifers, I got a lot of great stuff out of this segment. So really appreciate it.
You're such a good interviewer, Jules. Honestly, I wish I had that. I don't have the skill. I don't know how you did it, but you're so good at it.
Thanks, Debra. We've been at it for like 150 plus episodes now, so I like to think that I'm improving.
You're getting good at it.
Yes. For the win.
Astrology. I've done millions of sessions. I'm kind of good at it by now. If not, shoot me. That's what I keep telling you.
Totally. And a lesson for all of us out there as well to keep perfecting our craft. So with that, we will end here. Thank you so much, everyone. Thanks again, Debra. See you all next time.